Okay, welcome to August 27th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. And one of the reasons why I do this show is for our folks in the military. If you're serving or if you have ever served, thank you for your service. I assembled this podcast from a tool shed in my backyard in La Mesa, California. It's right next to San Diego, America's finest city. If you're looking to move here, check out TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. As a full-service Encinitas and San Diego real estate professional, Teresa works with buyers, sellers, and investors in real estate transactions. So check out the website, TeresaLovesRealEstate.com, and give her a call, 619-507-4906. And let's begin the show as we normally do with the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up. Face the flags if we have one, and put our right hands over our hearts and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Booyah, America! And now on to today's headlines. Happy birthday, LBJ! Plus, the Battle of Brooklyn Heights, and Michael Vick pleads not guilty to the Bad News Kennel scandal. Alright, so now let's get started! 1908. Happy birthday, LBJ! Lyndon Baines Johnson was born on August 27, 1908, in Central Texas. As a young lad, he once ran away from home and made it all the way out to California. He did make it back to Texas, and he started dating a girl named Kitty Clyde. Her dad disapproved of Lyndon, believing he would never go anywhere in life. As President of the United States, Lyndon would take Kitty and her husband on a ride on Air Force One. But that was until later. Lyndon attended Southwestern State Teachers College, now Texas State University San Carlos, and became a teacher. His political career began when he served as secretary for congressman in Texas. At age 21, he married Claudia Alta Lady Bird Taylor. In 1937, he was elected to the House of Representatives, where he served five terms. But when he lost the Senate seat in 1941, he left Congress to join the Navy, where he served as a lieutenant commander in World War II. After his plane was hit by Japanese fighter pilots, Johnson was awarded the Silver Star by General MacArthur. He ran for Senate in 1948, becoming the first candidate to travel by helicopter. During his campaign, he flew from town to town throughout Texas. Many people had never seen a helicopter in person, so as you can imagine, this drew large crowds. Those helicopters are pretty loud, you know. Lyndon would be elected to the primaries by 87 votes. In 1953, he became the youngest minority leader ever for the Democratic Party, worked his way up to House Majority Leader, and then Vice President of the U.S., at which point his career completely stalled. You see, being Vice President means you don't set policy. And in Lyndon's case, he was not a big hit with the Kennedys. Just to give you a quick example of that, one time, Lyndon invited Bobby Kennedy to go deer hunting with him at his ranch in Texas. Bobby shot a deer, but was holding the rifle wrong and got knocked off his feet. Lyndon thought that was hilarious and told Bobby that someone needs to teach him to shoot like a man. Bobby didn't take them words well, and the two were never friends since. That didn't help Lyndon's pull as vice president under Bobby Kennedy's brother, John F. Considering Lyndon and Bobby were the only ones who were allowed to use the Rose Garden at the White House, let's just say it was awkward. John Fitzgerald, God rest his soul, was assassinated on November 22, 1963. Lyndon was sworn in as President of the United States on Air Force One. As president, LBJ was able to push bills through that JFK couldn't, such as the Civil Rights Act, which outlawed segregation and discrimination in the country. He also continued with JFK's tax cut policies. LBJ served without a vice president during the tenure of his first term, then chose Hubert Humphreys to be his VP candidate for the 1964 election. All the way with LBJ was his campaign slogan, and landslide Lyndon did it again, beating out Republican candidate Barry Goldwater by a whopping 15 million votes, collecting 61%. During the campaign, his party ran a TV ad that showed a little girl picking petals off of a flower, counting to 10. When she reached the number 10, a male voice came on and counted from 10 to 0. Then an atomic bomb went off, and the commercial ended with a mushroom cloud going up in the sky. During his second term, according to WhiteHouse.gov, the Great Society program became Johnson's agenda for Congress, aid to education, attack on disease, Medicare, urban renewal, beautification, conservation, development of depressed regions, a wide-scale fight against poverty, control and prevention of crime and delinquency, and removal of obstacles to the right to vote. LBJ actually appointed the first African-American in his cabinet as Thurgood Marshall was chosen Supreme Court Justice. In foreign policy, and when I say foreign in this case, I mean not on planet Earth, Neil Armstrong and his crew made a giant leap for mankind on the moon. However, in other foreign affairs, back here on planet Earth, the Vietnam War undid his political career. Like the three presidents before him, he wanted to end the spread of communism in Asia. The number of American troops under LBJ's administration in Vietnam rocketed from 16,000 to over 500,000 troops. Despite the Civil Rights Act, racism and riots continued throughout the streets. College campuses grew angry with the Vietnam War, and Johnson decided not to seek another term, stating, quote, "I shall not seek, nor will I accept the nomination of my party for another term as your president," unquote. He decided to devote his efforts, without interference of politics, to the quest for peace. When he left office, peace talks were underway. However, he did not live to see them succeed, but died suddenly of a heart attack at his Texas ranch at age 64 on January 22, 1973, just one day after the Paris Peace Accords were signed between the U.S. and South Vietnam. Or as Lyndon would have put it, poverty has many roots, but the taproot is ignorance. Happy birthday, LBJ! 1776, the Battle of Brooklyn Heights. The British had retreated from Boston, and General George Washington correctly presumed that they would come back to New York. On August 22nd, British General William Howe and his army of 32,000 men arrived at Staten Island, where Howe gave Washington a chance to accept a pardon from the crown, when Washington famously replied, "Those who have committed no fault want no pardon." Washington ordered General Israel Putnam to cover Brooklyn Heights, placed General John Sullivan to the south, and stationed Lord Stirling to the southwest on the heights of Guam. However, General Howe and 10,000 British came into Brooklyn Heights by coming in through the rarely used Jamaican Pass on the east and surrounded Washington. The British easily defeated Washington's undisciplined soldiers at Brooklyn Heights, at Gowanus Pass, and then outflanked the entire Continental Army. Washington and his men retreated to Manhattan by boat. Legend has it, George Washington was the last one to leave. The British owned New York up until the end of the Revolution. And finally, in Creeper News 2007, NFL quarterback Michael Vick pleads guilty in running the Bad News Kennel. This infamous dogfighting ring in Virginia was located on a 15-acre property. Vic had just signed a sweet deal with the Atlanta Falcons as a starting quarterback for a record 10-year, $130 million contract, much of which he had to give back to the Falcons. Vic and his partners executed possibly 8 dogs who wouldn't fight in a ring by hanging, drowning, or electrocuting them. Vic's image was stained forever, although he made a very small comeback upon prison release when he returned to the NFL and played for the Philadelphia Eagles. And
so that's going to wrap it up, my friends, for August 27th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I'm your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Let me know what you thought about today's program. For instance, how much did you learn, if anything, about President Johnson? Revolution fans, what's your take on the Battle of Brooklyn Heights? Anything you care to add to that story? So yeah, let me know what you think. And while you're on the website, you can check out some of the multiple choice quizzes. Let me know how you do on those. And don't miss tomorrow's show. I'll talk about protests at the DNC in Chicago. Arthur Jones passes away. He invented Nautilus machines. Fugitive polygamist Warren Jeffs is arrested. Worcester sauce is invented as well. And the Grateful Dead and Janis Joplin play at a funeral. So don't miss that. In the meantime, you can catch me on Facebook and Twitter. My Twitter handle is JDUSHL. So until then, Thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. We'll see you then.